We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Where'd you get that hat?
I bought it.
At the Met Team store over the weekend.
Oh, boy, they love you.
Why? Because I give them my money.
Boy, the Nets and Mets, they ought to get you a limousine.
You know what's funny?
Pick you up at your crib one night and do whatever you want.
It's funny. You're thinking something that people have told me in the past, and that's, why did you get that for free? Well, the difference between you and I, Craig, is I
wasn't suggesting that.
That's what you were thinking.
It wasn't.
You were thinking,
no.
How did you pay for a hat? Every uniform and hat and shirt I get is free. Why are you giving them your money?
No.
And the answer is, because I'm a schmuck, Craig.
Okay. Well, then I'll make that my question. Now that I know the answer to it. Let me see the front. It's just a standard one, right?
No, it's a little...
That's the gray, the gray and the orange Y? Is that what that... Or no, it's both. Both letters have the gray and orange.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of a grayish tint
to
it.
They don't wear those, though, do they?
You know, it's funny. So when I went to the team store, I have a very particular head size. Do you know what head size I have?
I would guess that you're 7 3/8.
It's a good guess. You're wrong. It's
half?
Seven and... Hold on, let me confirm.
Are you half?
7 1/8.
1/8.
Seven and 1/8.
I got a little peanut head.
I got a little tiny head.
Yeah.
My son almost has a bigger head than me. And I was looking for the traditional orange and blue Met hat. I could not find it in the 7 1/8.
Now, do you prefer the square brim or no?
The square brim? Well, what is
like
this?
Here,
I have?
Like this.
Yeah, but what do I have?
Well, you've bent it, is why I'm asking.
Yeah, I bent it. Yeah, I prefer
like
a little
bend. Flat brim,
yeah,
which
no.
I'm holding here. This is the New York Met All-Star hat. They're all by New Era, same company.
He got for free.
Listen, it's on display. It's not like I took it home.
You could, though.
But I don't. Like, when people send me this stuff, I want to adorn the studio with
it. Of course.
That's why, you know, so the Yankee hat's here, too.
I see.
I didn't take it.
Okay.
Fanatics was kind enough to send it. I put it on display.
Uh-huh. Dave, Fanatics has never sent you anything you've taken home?
What happened?
Exactly.
I don't remember the, plead the fifth.
What I'm confused about, and this is amazing because I watch every pitch of every Met game, but I don't notice certain things.
Yeah.
So what I don't know is, do they wear this?
I've never seen it. I've watched every Met game this year.
It was a cool-looking Met hat. I prefer to get the orange and blue. And
did it have a name associated with it when
no,
you ordered it?
No, I didn't order it. I was at the Met team store. It was literally the only one that was 7 1/8, and it looked normal enough.
Yeah.
That I was not like, bad. I'm going to go with it. But I have no idea if they ever wear this.
But why are you wearing it backwards? Because you don't like the front.
I like wearing backwards hats. I switch. Yeah, I go back and forth.
Got it.
You haven't noticed that? Half the time
you don't
I've
wear
seen
a hat
you,
that much in here.
This is the first time I've ever worn
so
a hat.
So in other
with
words,
you.
Were you at the game and took a picture with like your son or your wife or something or your dad and go, wow, I am not looking great today. Let me go buy a hat to hide this.
No. So what happened was.
Because you must have 50 Mets hats at home.
I do, but right. I needed one in my size. My head size has changed over the years.
It's gotten larger.
It's gotten smaller. I don't know why.
Your head got smaller?
Yeah, it don't make any sense. Huh. I used to wear a bigger hat
I've
size.
Never heard that before of any adult male.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Unless something weird is going on.
Why, were you 7 1/4 prior?
Yeah.
Huh.
Dude, my old hats don't fit.
A guy on Twitter said, everyone went to the store and said, can I get a 7 2/8? That's why he couldn't find a hat his size.
That could happen. Weeks ago, I recognized that I needed a haircut. Okay?
Yeah.
Wanted to get a haircut.
Yeah.
I don't like getting a haircut.
Because the last time you got one, your wife hated it.
She hated it. I don't like going. I don't like the conversation. I just don't like anything about a haircut. So it popped into my head about 2 days before the game. I said, you know what I should do? It'll give me a few weeks. I'm going to go buy a brand new comfortable Met hat. And that was my reason for buying it.
Coming up, we've got the audio of Susan describing the loose cat at Yankee Stadium last night that I've now seen the video of. Here's Mike in Throgs Neck. Yo, Mike, what's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? First of all, before I get to my point on last night's horrendously boring Yankee game, I think you should give me the ticket to the Guns N' Roses concert because you kept me in the car with my 50-year-old bladder waiting to get to talk to you.
Done. You got him. For real. I'll put you on hold after the call, and I'm going to give you the 3 o'clock tickets. You got him. There you go.
Second of all,
Hold on. I'm not kidding. Do you want the tickets?
Wait. When is it? For Thursday night?
Now he's thinking about it. Thursday night, MetLife Stadium.
No, because I was going to buy tickets for it. But when is it? Thursday?
I'm giving you two tickets. Do you want them or not?
If it's Thursday, of course.
Yes.
I'm going to Rhode Island on Friday.
So let me go over this with you. We said it's a Thursday night concert. You said, hey, I'm my 50. I got to pee, blah, 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 blah. And no shtick. I'm saying to you, they're yours if you want them.
Yes. Yes, I want them.
100%?
100%.
All right, you got them.
Now, you have opened up a Pandora's box where we are now going to get routine.
We're not doing that.
You got some Met tickets. You got some Yankee tickets. You got this ticket. You got that
ticket. This guy's getting tickets. It's done. Period. Stop. Finish it off. Good. All right, you got them.
Second point. The last time I spoke to you, I was on my way to Boston. I started that whole conversation of wearing your Yankee gear.
I remember.
So my son wore his jersey. And his hat. I wore my hat.
How'd it go?
Fans couldn't be better.
See?
They couldn't be nicer. No bull. No headaches.
I told you.
No
these
anything.
Boston fans have softened up over the years.
They don't hate us anymore.
Of course.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. Do not wear a Nirvana shirt to the Guns N' Roses concert.
Don't worry. I promise you that I won't. I won't.
Well, listen, thanks for calling. Hold on one sec. The guys will get all your information.
In regard to last night's game.
Oh, I forgot why you called. Go ahead.
Yeah, this guy Meany, all right?
Yep.
He gives up two home runs, right? Yep. He's getting his you-know-what in it for the entire
I didn't think he was that bad, actually.
Inning.
Well, he was good for the first three innings, and then he gave up
a bunch
of home runs.
Even balls that were hit for outs were hit hard.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I just want to know one thing, and if you could ask Cashman or Boone or both, why on God's earth did they wait for four home runs and a double off the wall to even send somebody out there for a mound visit? Were they conserving them? Like, not even a player.
I get it. And I've heard this before when guys are struggling, and sometimes I wonder it, but it really is overrated. I mean, I don't think going out there as Andrew Haney is throwing batting practice in the fourth inning was necessarily going to stop him from giving up that home run to Ramon Urias. Like, I just... So I get it. I get the frustration.
Four.
I respect it. I just don't think it would have made.
Four of them.
No, but there was a mound visit before the fourth.
Hey, Mike, hold on one sec, buddy, and enjoy the concert on Thursday, right, buddy?
Gotcha. Thank you.
You got it.
I think that's just one of those things that we complain about, but it doesn't matter.
No. You know what I'm saying, we all know, you go out there, maybe you calm a kid down, you get the bullpen up, give him some more time, but the home runs were still coming.
Yeah.
You know, they're all solo shots is the only saving grace.
But you know what? Look, I'm not going to defend.
And they had no offense anyway.
Exactly. I'm not going to defend Andrew Haney. You want better than four home runs in four innings. I get all that. But Andrew Haney is what he is. He's a 5.5 ERA guy. He's not very good.
Well,
what
hold on.
What you need
I
to do is pound Jorge Lopez.
Right. What? Because their guy was a 6 ERA guy.
But Craig, that's my point.
What do we do?
My point is, and it's kind of similar to last night with the Mets and Tyler McGill. Tyler McGill didn't have a good night. I get that. He's not the reason they lost. The Mets needed to hit last night. The Yankees needed to hit last night.
Yeah.
When you're facing Jorge Lopez, you can't go 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position when he's giving you free bases. You can't be hitless into the sixth inning. You can't perform as poorly as you did offensively. Craig, you're allowed to win a game 11-9. You're allowed to. You're allowed to win a game 9-7.
You're yelling
last
at me again.
Last night was the
I
night when you do that.
I do not that today.
You've done nothing wrong.
I've done nothing wrong today. I've not exacerbated your fandom. I've not poked fun at you.
You did one thing.
And you're yelling.
You did one thing.
I'd love to win a game 11-9. You know why?
You did one thing.
I'd watch it.
That's true. You did do one thing that poked me.
What
and
did
I knew
I do?
It. I was excitedly describing how the Brooklyn Nets signed Patty Mills to a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, hey, that's a good signing, which I know you'd probably admit, hey, that's quality signing, you went to the, you guys are going to lose in the second round again.
Wow.
What did I do to deserve that?
What did you, well, you're douchey.
Oh, because I took a shot at the Knicks according to Knicks fans?
You're douchey, And by the way, I assume you know this, but for those of you out there, I know, and no one else cares, but Evan, today,
what?
That'll change next year, possibly,
what?
With Patty Mills. Like, no one cares, right? They barely care that the Knicks got Fournier. Like, it's a weird thing in New York right now. Patty Mills is actually going to cost the Nets. Do you have any idea what he's going to cost?
Yeah, he's going to cost about $28 million in tax. which, by the way, is
Patty
what
Mills.
I was bitching about not signing Dinwiddie because, and we discussed this the other day, how it was going to cost Joseph Tsai like $50 million in tax. And my point to you was, and just if you're a Yankee fan, think about this. You don't care about what a millionaire or billionaire owner pays in
billionaire
tax.
Billionaire for sure.
Right. It's tough for me as a fan to care about the tax bill when it has no tangible effect on your ability to build a roster.
No, what I do care about is when I buy the 50 fake iPhones in Alibaba that they get here within a week.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Or if I want the Grateful Dead Nike Low SB Dunks in green, orange, and yellow, size 12, please, that Alibaba gets it to me before Christmas.
That's right.
That's what I care about. That's Joe Tsai's company.
I know it's Joseph Tsai's company. Up. And so while I'm disappointed in what he's gone, I am. Yeah. He is my favorite player. I like the fact that they are paying that much in tax for a guy like Patty Mills. Because if you want to win in the NBA, Craig, you'll get there someday.
Just be patient. That's why people don't like you.
I don't really care.
I don't
give a rat's ass about people being sensitive.
You want to be liked.
About the criticisms of their team. Like, I was stunned. All I did innocently was tweet who had a worse night last night, the Mets, Yankees, or Knicks. And the Knicks fans came out like, what are you talking about?
That's a dopey, douchey question.
Why?
You're asking for a fight.
Why am I asking for a fight?
Because you know it's a dumb question.
Why? All three teams
the Knicks didn't have a terrible night last night. Who did you want them to get that they didn't get?
No, I didn't want them to commit multiple years to Nerlens, Noel, and Derek Rose.
I agree with you on that part.
Oh, you agree with me. So then what do you disagree with me about?
Because the Yankees and Mets losing games last night compared to the Knicks re-signing Nerlens, Noel
for
30 million.
The Knicks would be worse. Because
no, they're not.
Craig.
That's you trying.
Like, no, it's not.
It's my opinion.
No. Just like my opinion was positive towards the Knicks for what they did last offseason because they kept flexibility.
You went out of their way last night to try to tweak the Knicks.
You guys are being so sensitive. How come you ignore when I was positive last year? I liked what they did last year. While you were fantasizing about Russell Westbrook, I was keeping you grounded. I don't like the idea of committing multiple years to Derrick Rose and Nerlens Noel.
That's
consistency, dude.
Steph Curry has signed a contract. Did you see that today?
What does that have to do with anything?
I just wanted to give you the news. 4 years, $215 million. He's the first player in NBA history to sign two deals worth $200 million.
What does that have to do with what I'm saying about the Knicks?
I'm just trying to distract you from bashing my Knicks.
I'm not bashing them.
You had a worse night.
You just admitted, Craig,
I'll tell you
that
you
didn't like them signing Noel and Derrick Rose. Did you not just admit that?
I didn't say Derrick Rose. I said not like the Alec Burks signing for the amount of money and the years.
It's the years. It's not the money.
And I did not like the Nerlens Noel's years either.
Oh, so you don't like the years?
I do not.
So we agree with each other. Why are you picking a fight with me?
No, I'm not.
You agree with me?
I'm not. You're picking a fight last night.
No, I'm not.
With Knicks fans.
I thought that you agree that the Knicks didn't have a good night last night.
No, I didn't say that.
That has a long-term impact that's much greater than the Yankees and Mets losing a game.
You were upset that the Mets lost, and I respect
that. It has nothing to do with the Mets. I'm an honest basketball fan, and you guys get triggered over anything. Like, I had a guy DM me bashing the Nets. I said nothing about the Nets.
Well,
I'm talking about the Knicks. I would not have committed multiple years to replace. I mean, you give 3 years to Nerlens Noel? Andre Drummond just got a one-year deal to back up in Philly.
I agree.
Plus, signing Nerlens Noel blocks Obi Toppin. You need to play Randall or Toppin at the five. And how are you going to do that when you've got Mitch signed, you got Nerlens signed, you brought Taj back? I'm sorry. I'm giving you a basketball opinion, and you guys get triggered. Not all of you, some of you.
Yes, but you did not give a basketball opinion when you asked the question.
And that's
the problem.
Because you can't explain that
in
a bunch of
characters. But see, the problem for you right there is you didn't get to do what you just did. The problem is this is how it gets perceived.
I don't care.
Perception is reality, my friend.
That I hate the Knicks.
Yes.
I do hate the Knicks, but I try to be honest about it. But Craig, one last thing.
Carmelo Anthony just signed.
Lakers.
1 year deal.
Lakers.
Yeah.
Figured that was coming.
Yep.
Last year, when we talked about the Knicks, and everybody was so upset, oh my God, we didn't sign Gordon Hayward, we didn't trade for Russ. I put my arm around you and said, you guys were smart. So why would you think my hatred blinds me all the time?
Because I know you.
But it doesn't. I'm being honest.
But I'm telling you what perception is. Like, the Yankees and Mets had bad nights last night.
Of course
night.
They did.
For, we all know that, right?
Did
we
the
all
Knicks have a good night last night?
I was not happy with what they
then
did.
Then you agree with me.
But that's coming
what
from a Knicks fan.
What's happening?
Nobody wants to hear you say it.
Really? So you're going to stop talking Giants now, Craig, Mr. Daniel Jones?
No.
Because you're not a Giants fan. No
I'm
one
not.
Wants to hear from
I'm
you.
I'm not.
You're not a Mets fan anymore. No one wants
well,
to hear from you.
Well, that's just for the year.
Don't go down that road of we don't want to hear of fans of other teams. Because
no.
In New York, we have multiple teams
yes.
in every sport.
Yeah.
And the only thing you and I can do is try our hardest to be
yes.
fair.
But
that's all
here's
we can
the
do.
Deal. People, I'm just telling you how you're perceived.
And how do you think you're perceived with the Mets?
I'm beloved. Met fans love me. They want me back. It's not going to happen this particular
right.
year
because
we all know how this year is going to end. It's
right.
not going to be good. Yes, and I may, maybe I do go back next year. We'll have to find
you're
out next year.
You're not welcome back next year.
Yes, I'm just looking out for you. Because
I love
you.
You don't need to look
and
out
I have
for
you
me.
Back.
I'm going to always, I really don't care, going to give you my opinion. Sometimes you may agree, you may disagree.
But you didn't
but
give
you
your
have
opinion.
To
I
That's
just did.
The
no, here you did. I'm good with what you said here.
It's called a tease for
the
radio show, Craig. You put that stuff out there,
but
and then they're like, let me listen
you
to
didn't
this
tease
podcast.
It. You didn't tease it.
I did.
You didn't say, who had the worst night? Find out tomorrow at 3.
It's implied.
Is it, though?
Yes.
I thought you were going to do a podcast. How did I know? I thought you were driving home from someplace.
Should I
doing
do
an angry podcast?
Yeah. No, sometimes I do happy podcasts.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
By the way, what did your wife say about the overalls? She in on that or no?
She had the same questions that C-Mac and Loogie's wife had, which was like, it's interesting. I got to see more, got to hear more, got to know more.
Oh, yeah. Why with all the questions?
Because it's an idea without like, this is it.
Can I ask you a favor?
It.
And
no.
this could come across poorly. I don't mean it to. Can't you just tell them they're going to wear it?
No, life doesn't work that way,
bro. No?
This isn't 1965 anymore, Craig.
You can't just say, listen.
No.
When you're done with the laundry, I'd like you to put on these
listen,
overalls.
I thought we were looking for a big business idea, not just all of our wives in the office. Like, you know, right. trying to
it's gotta start somewhere.
Figure this thing out.
I'm just asking.
Archie, I love you, man. But you can't just tell your wife what
yeah.
to do. Usually... our wives tell us what to
can't
do.
Can't you say, honey, when you're done making the beds, will you put these on?
Yeah, not an option.
No, you can't say that?
No.
Huh. I make the bed, but yeah.
Especially in the cases of Loogie and C-Mac where their wives support them.
Correct.
Yes.
I mean,
and we thank
them support
that.
The family.
Yes.
Let me ask
you this.
No.
Their wives support them.
Craig,
that's their business.
You know the inner workings of this place too well.
How do I get into it? That's their business. If they want to share that information, fine. I guess they're going to be walking around in nothing but overalls. By the way, what about your mother-in-law?
I never asked her.
Oh, you got to ask her.
You want me to ask her if she'll wear overalls?
Yes.
Come on.
She lives with you, right?
Yeah, she does.
Yes. Ask her.
All right. I'll ask her tonight.
Respectfully, of course.
Of course. I will do it respectfully.
Dad, you call her mom or no?
No. I don't call her by any name because when you're around someone, you don't have to identify someone by a name. True story.
What do you mean you don't call her by a name?
You don't have to call anyone
what do
by
you
a
say?
Name.
Yeah. Psst.
Yeah,
you whistle
you make
out
eye
con-
you make eye contact and
what
then
if
talk.
What if her back is to you and she's, I don't know.
I just start talking.
At the sink.
I just start talking.
You just start talking.
And then I assume she'll understand I'm talking to her.
You don't say chica.
No, I don't say chica.
No?
No.
You don't say mama.
I don't say mama.
No?
Keep going. I want to hear more. What else
well,
you
I don't
got?
Know her first name. Like, let's say her first name is Isabel.
Right.
You say, yo, Izzy.
I do not.
When you don't...
I say Miss Mother-in-Law. No, I don't say that either.
But you don't call her mom.
I don't call her anything when I say
you don't like, refer to her by a name.
No, for example, let's say I'm offering her water because we're making the table, right? The food is coming out.
Yeah.
I say, would you like water?
Yes.
That's it. And she'll turn around and say, is he talking to me? Oh, he is. Yes, I'd love some agua. And
okay.
I go get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's every once in a while, but
yeah,
there's no way you can get away with
I do.
Long extended periods without
no,
referring to her in some way. Or
you have to have, she has to have a name.
No, I do.
Whether
well, she does have a
mom
name.
Mom or you know, if it's a Spanish name, whatever
I have
it is.
Gotten away with never having to
what
use
do you
their
call
names?
Your father-in-law?
Same thing. I never have to use
you
his
don't
name.
Acknowledge him by name or title.
You just well, go, hey?
Hey. Yo.
Yo,
you.
What's up?
Do you whistle at them?
No.
Is it buffalo chicken today or not?
Yeah. I make eye contact with them and speak to them. Like, when you live
wow.
with someone, you don't have to refer to them as their name all the time.
Do you refer to your wife by a name?
Yeah. I
Why?
Say, what's up, baby?
Why? Same difference, isn't it?
Because it's a love name.
You
it's
don't love your in-laws?
Love name. Well, I don't have a love name.
Do you call
them,
your
no.
kids by their names? Or you just whistle at them, too?
No, I call them by their names.
So the only people that don't get called by their names or some title are your poor in-laws.
I guess the way you put it,
and
you're
he seems
right.
proud
yeah.
to have accomplished this.
Well,
fact.
I just don't think it's necessary.
Like,
because
look at what I've done over here.
You know
I'm changing
C-Mac,
the dynamics right. of the
it's not,
family.
It's not that. It's that there would be this, like, should I call them mom or dad?
You don't have to do that. Like, I don't do that either. I'm first name basis.
You don't?
My in-laws, all first those name years, basis.
You don't go mom,
they're
dad?
Not my mother and father, so I don't do that.
Yeah, I guess I'd feel bad.
You could say, like, I go, hey, Ellen, hey, Jerry.
So you go first name?
Yeah.
You don't go Mr. and Mrs.?
No.
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 No, I think if I had to, I would refer
although
to them by their first name.
My wife first met my parents.
Yeah.
My mom said to her, you'll call me Bobby. It's a nickname for Roberta.
Right.
Call me Bobby. My dad said, you'll call me Mr. Carter.
Really?
Hey, wait, wait, wait. What's wrong with you?
Call me Mr. Carter.
So let's just say your father-in-law, you're making plans for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and or like he does the dinner menu typically in your house, right?
Right.
Because he's a great chef. And are you like, hey, what's for dinner tonight?
No, I'll walk
or would
over.
You say, Alan, what are you making for dinner tonight?
What I would normally do is I'd walk over to him, so he
tap him on the shoulder,
and I'll say, hey, what are we doing for dinner tonight?
Wow.
What do you mean, wow?
I'd say, that's disrespectful.
How is that disrespectful?
Hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah.
What are you making for dinner tonight?
Hey, like that.
Wow.
Hey is in, I'm right in front of you. Yeah. What are we doing for dinner? What would you like me to pick up at the grocery store?
And do you just like stand there and wait for him to turn around and catch you and see
you? Yeah, just
so
you have to call him
in. So if you walk in, he's facing the other way, he's looking in the fridge, he's washing the dishes, you walk in and you'll just wait there until he makes eye contact.
I gotta tell you, there's never been a misunderstanding. It's always worked out. It's always been
executed. I guarantee that he and his wife talk about it.
I think he does call me Evan.
Of course he does, because he's a normal human being.
So I'm not a normal human
Correct.
Being.
Correct.
There have never been interactions where you don't have to refer to someone by their name.
It happens now and then, of course. Like, if I look up and I see them, I might not say Big Mac or Tom. I'd say, hey, do me a favor,
well,
right?
Because
I'm making eye contact.
Craig, if push
if
comes...
If his back was turned, I wouldn't whistle at him.
I don't whistle at him. I don't even... Craig, I don't even know how to whistle. True story.
I wouldn't say...
I can't.
Hey, hey.
No, I don't do hey. I walk over to them, make sure there's eye contact, then we talk. But yes, I can use their name. It's not that uncomfortable.
That's crazy.
I just
to me.
Prefer not
like
to.
Like if you called your father-in-law right now, it would probably go like this.
What are you making for dinner? I need to know what the menu for dinner is, or you'll have to move out. You have 10 seconds to reveal the dinner menu for tonight. Hey. 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 You. Hey, are we having lamb chops or pork chops? Don't turn your back on me.
The machine did nothing to your whistle. I found that intriguing.
It still sounded like
a whistle. Yeah, it still sounded like a whistle. That was the thing I'm most intrigued by.
Yeah, there you go. All right, listen. So there you have that. Evan is a stranger by the day. Stranger by the day. So the Yankees have a guy pitching tonight that you've never heard of, so.
Well, that's not true. He was their eighth best prospect.
No, the average fan never heard of him.
I knew you'd get pissed for me saying that.
Please don't do that. You know him. He's on your Stratomatic team. The rest of the free world never heard of
the guy. He's a prospect, though. That should be pointed out. He's not Jared Eichhoff in Metland. You know what I mean?
I wonder if you're going to tonight's game hoping to see Gerrit Cole, if you're still going to tonight's game.
Nah, he wasn't that kind of draw yet.
You don't think so?
Nah. I think Yankee fans
depends
like
on when
Gerrit
you bought
Cole.
The ticket, maybe too, though, right?
But I haven't gotten the impression, and I could be wrong, that the Yankees get any kind of bump in attendance when Garrett's on the mound. It's not a knock on.
Even after the Houston game, you think a couple people went out and said, "Oh, I'm going to try to see him pitch."
I do not think so. Now, look, I'm sure there'll be a person here and there who'll call and say, "You're wrong, Evan. I wanted to go to see Cole," but I don't think there's any kind of noticeable difference when Cole pitches or not.
You know, it's amazing on the Mets side of things. We figured, and we could be off on this, that about 3,000 to 5,000 people for sure bought tickets just to see DeGrom, right?
Yeah.
We could be off, but that's what you and I were talking about a month ago.
Yes.
Imagine those people.
Yeah. Dude, I can't tell you. I can't tell you how many DMs I would get. I opened up my DMs, and my most popular question would be, wow, that Carton's a jackass. And then the second
That's not a
one,
question.
Yeah, it'd be a question. They'd frame it as, why
is that a why?
Why is he such a jackass?
Right, I can take that.
And then the second question would be, Evan, we know you're a geek, so tell us, when's Jake pitching for the next 4 weeks?
Right.
So people always wanted to map that thing out.
Well, because you mapped it out on the air and
That's
said
right.
he was going to have 14 more starts.
That was prior to me mapping it out on the air. People
knew
I mapped out Jake's starts.
Yeah.
Now I got nothing to map out.
You map out Jake starts like people sell star constellations for birthdays. Yes. Remember those commercials?
I do.
Buy your loved one a star, which is actually non-existent. You can't, like, there's no, like,
right. What if we discover that star and, like, we have the technology to really go to that star?
Yeah.
Is it really going to be called the Bob? You know what I mean?
Well, I think you'd probably incinerate before you got there, right?
Well, no, let's say we create the technology.
Because the moon's a star.
The moon is not a star.
The moon is not a star.
The sun is a star.
I meant to say the sun. That's something.
Oh, is that what you meant?
I didn't mean to say the sun. Right. Clearly, I understand.
Yeah, but there
are
other stars. So if we travel.
But they're all suns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, stars are sun.
Right.
Sun's
so
a star.
You wouldn't get, you'd be able to get to the star. To
no,
see
but let's
if
say we
Bob.
Got to the solar system that had the star.
Yeah.
And so now we're at that planet. We're at the planet near the star. Am I going to look up to the sky and say, oh, I don't want to burn myself from Bob?
Like, instead of the Big Dipper.
Right.
Or the North Star. Oh, there's Baba Sakamoto Star.
100%.
Exactly.
It's a fraud. Because we wouldn't do that.
Right.
I wouldn't get Bob burnt.
It's like when you guys fall to that dopey trap of buying bricks at Citi Field. I'm sure you didn't do it because you wouldn't fall into that trap. And you're like, oh, look, I've got a brick.
I did do that.
What's that?
What?
Hold on. Correct. You're buying a star that we'll never get to. The brick is there. At Citi Field.
Where's the star going? It's going to be in the sky for our entire life.
We can't get to the star, and if you did, it won't be called the Bob.
When's the last time you got to the brick?
Opening day 2009.
Where they have a map with where your brick is?
Yes.
You bought a brick.
Well, in fairness, my dad bought the
1-800-SUCKER. Hey, Dad, guess what? You and I can have a brick at Citi.
It was a family
right near the Robinson Rotunda.
It's right there. It's a good spot.
Yeah. All the bricks are right there.
Haven't seen it in 13 years, but boy, it's a good spot.
For only another $100, you can have a handrail.
Right.
The way the Mets are going into the Wilpons between Amway opening up a store there,
that's right.
You might have gotten a handrail. Didn't I give you a gift from Shea Stadium?
You did, Craig, and I still have it.
Yeah.
What Craig gave me was this thing that holds napkins.
Yes, that's right, the old napkin dispenser.
Awesome, but that's not all. He also gave me the sign for the women's room.
Yeah, see?
I loved it.
When you
handed it to me, I was like, Craig, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if you didn't think I thought it was awesome.
No, I know.
I thought it was awesome.
Last time I was in your office a couple weeks ago, I saw the napkin dispenser.
The napkin dispenser's here. The women's bathroom sign is at home in my TV room.
Nice. Like on the wall or something like that? No, that's awesome.
It's awesome.
For a man cave item. No doubt. A women's bathroom sign from Shea Stadium? What reeks more of manhood than that?
Nothing.
Did you wash it?
Of course, yeah.
I just
what I'm trying to figure out with the napkin thing, which is awesome, and it is in my office. You could bring it in, Lumi, if you want.
You know what to do with it, right?
I wanted to fix it.
Why don't you just put napkins in it?
That's what I wanted to do. It doesn't work because there's pieces missing, but I wanted to fix it so
that
it could become a napkin dispenser.
Yeah.
And I would have brought it back to my TV.
I can fix that for you.
Can you really?
100%. Yeah. I'm good at that stuff.
Did you get seats from Shea? Because I got that too.
No, I didn't. What else did I get from Shea? Whatever Steiner was giving me is what I got.
The seat thing was very cool. That was worth
every
penny.
You got two of those?
The best part is we got
a whole row?
Our tickets. Like our family seats.
Cool.
So what's awesome about that
How
is
many did you get? Four?
We had four.
And would you put them in your like man cave thing?
In fairness, I don't have them. My sister has two and my dad has two. I think they get a bigger kick out of it.
Your sister doesn't even like the Mets.
Yeah, she does.
Does she though?
Yeah.
Her
As
husband liked the Mets?
No.
You gotta get those back.
You think I should take it back?
Yeah, because you have a man cave. Like, how great would it be to have those two seats for you and
but you know what?
Your invisible friends to come over and watch Met games with you?
I actually do have friends, believe it or not. But my sister grew up at Shea Stadium, and she would carve her name on the seats.
You say that like orphans talk about, I grew up in that playground, and Sister Mary Teresa would come out here and rack me on the knuckles to make me go to bed before 6.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't grow up in
Shea Stadium. Yeah, she did.
Every
weekend, she would be a Che. She was much better going to baseball games as a kid than I was. It took me a few more years.
Yeah, so here it is. So this isn't broken, by the way. You just got to get the right size napkin.
Oh, is that the problem?
Yeah, because you pull one, the next comes down. It's a gravity.
So I have to buy a certain size napkin to make this thing work?
Yeah, we could probably figure out what
that's really
size
awesome,
is.
Though.
Yeah, or just go to Citi Field and steal theirs.
Just take their napkins.
Take their napkins. Right. I mean, they owe me for taking away bacon on a stick. I'm sure Aramark will send me the napkins.
Just give us a bunch of napkins?
Well, you could probably put 500 napkins easy in this dispenser. No doubt.
It's awesome. I love that dispenser. And it's got like the Met logo. It's got Shea Stadium's final
got
season
some ketchup
logo.
Stains on it. Oh, it's great.
Oh, yeah.
And it even has a little sticker of authenticity on the side.
Yes.
You probably never noticed that, did you?
Yeah, but I didn't need the sticker of authenticity. You just look at it and you know that came from Shea Stadium.
There you go. Look at that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I am a wonderful friend, aren't
I? It was very sweet of you.
Yes.
I really appreciated that.
You're
Thank
quite
you.
Welcome, Evan. Here you go.
It's the best gift you've ever given me.
This, that, or the women's sign? The women's bathroom sign?
Probably this, because I think there's more of a function for this. Once I put the napkins in,
but you got to do.
I'm getting napkins.
And then you have to just mount it to the wall.
Yes.
At your house. Because now if I go over to eat wings or whatever your father-in-law cooks for me, since I don't know him by his first name, since I guess he doesn't have one, I can just say, hey, where are the napkins at? And he can just pour me towards that thing. That's all.
I can't get this thing to hang up. I'm
just
trying to
out of curiosity, if you don't mind sharing.
Yes.
Does he have a first name? Just only first name?
Jose, yeah.
Jose.
Yeah. Nice. I call him Jose.
Do you ever sing the Jose Reyes song for him?
I have never
Jose, 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 Jose.
I have not done that.
Like on his birthday. That's what you should do. Wake him up. Jose, 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 Jose.
He'll look at me like I have 10 heads if I did that.
That's all. I know you love him very much.
I love my father and mother-in-law. Very, very lucky I married into such a wonderful family.
We're due for some chorizo quesadillas, though. I know that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Carton and Roberts on the Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
I hear it all the time. Yankee fans last night especially were all up in themselves after the loss. Where's Brian Cashman? I want to talk to Cashman right now. All right. So I called him up. Brian Cashman's on the line. It's Carton and Roberts on the Fan. Brian, how you been, pal?
I'm all right, guys. How are you doing?
Do you hear that on the streets ever when you go out? Like, where's Brian Cashman? I want to talk to Cashman right now.
Well, I'm very approachable, so so anybody who wants to talk to me, they know where to find me.
I'm sure the thing that was screamed most at you the last few years is, hey, Cashman, go get a lefty. Hey, get a lefty to this lineup.
No one ever said anything until this year when we were bashing right-handers and leading the league in runs scored or one of the top run-producing teams. We're getting praised for such a difficult lineup to navigate until this year when it changed. So,
what made your view on this change? Was it the struggles, or did you think this lineup finally needed balance?
No, I mean, I was never anti-balance. It's just acquisition. So even when, for instance, we got Gallo at the deadline here, it was revealed that we tried to get Gallo in February and March, and we were getting close to a deal for him, and people were surprised. And there's other left-handers we've tried to acquire, including players that didn't work out elsewhere, got released, and we offered their chance to come here, and they picked a different spot because, for whatever reason, better fit, maybe closer to home, maybe they were worried we were going to acquire somebody else. So we've always tried to get, guys, and, so for instance, in spring, if we did get Gallo, it would have been not too far after we got Odor, who was left-handed. So it's, anyway, you get that false narratives that run around out there. We've always said that balance is important, but not at the expense of getting a lesser player to replace your better.
It's interesting because I remember when we talked to you about it, it was back in February or March. We asked you about Brantley, we asked you about Schwarber, and you were not committed on them specifically, which I get because at the time you're potentially negotiating with them. But I get the sense that after all these years, it still bothers you when you turn on the radio or read a newspaper column or see something on social media from people claiming to know nothing about what you actually have done or tried to do. Am I right on that?
Well, I think that would be true of any whether it's a front office executive or second guessing of manager decisions, you know, whether who they're playing, where they're playing, the lineup construction, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, but then there's a lot more information behind the scenes that they don't know about, and that might lead to those decisions. Sometimes you make bad decisions.
Right,
sometimes,
sure.
You know, call now, it like you see it. Sometimes you don't make good decisions, but in many cases, if something doesn't make sense, you know, there's a lot of times things behind the scenes that if you could shine the light on, you get a little fresher look. To, you know, I kind of just understand it as when you're doing well, they love you, and when you're not doing well, they think you're dumb. There's
sure.
no in between. It's just black or white. You're either riding high right. or you're susceptible.
You
to
go
all the
from being the you're the worst GM in baseball, you're the best GM in baseball, but you're never anywhere in
that's
between.
True. Yeah, I think that's part of the territory of the sports world, and you know the fact that you have such a. I mean, we're obviously thankful that you have such a strong, passionate fan base, because if you had no fan base, no one would really care.
So let me ask you this.
It's just an example of people caring.
Well, this came out a couple days ago, and I had not heard this before, so please walk us through it and kind of just give us some depth to it, if you don't mind. It came out a couple days ago. I don't know if you said it or if Aaron said it, that every day the analytic department of the New York Yankees makes a recommendation for what the starting lineup should be that night. And I'd never heard that before. And I wonder if you could walk us through how that works. And then ultimately, is it Boone that gets the final say? Is it totally collaborative? And how does that work?
No, Boone, again, this is a question that's been asked so many times. So, you know, the answers will be the same. So try to give you a revelation. I don't think Aaron Boone takes the job, or Joe Girardi before that takes the job, or Torrey, obviously, if they didn't have power of the lineup or power of, you know, who to play. Our job is to provide the best roster we possibly can, try to hire people of like minds that, you know, kind of gravitate to good decision making. And how do you do that? You just need to make sure that, you know, you're hiring people that are open-minded to and with the work ethic that's going to be committed to, you know, searching down every avenue that exists that is of quality, that in terms of the information age, which is essentially going to lead you to whatever the best decision you possibly can make is. And that includes obviously the numbers, that includes the obviously the personnel, you know, and the feedback you get from your connection with your player or players, and how all those chess pieces can operate together collectively. And then, you know, all I demand and command from our manager, for instance, and individual coaches would be that work is going on. And it's not just willy-nilly that today I just wake up and this is what I'm going to do. But there's no work or research or time or effort put into how you come to that. So in terms of answering your first question, we have a system that was put in place that's really, you know, I'd say state of the art. You know, from what I hear from a lot of people that have been elsewhere, it's probably one of the better operating systems in the game. It has a lot, you know, it contains all our scouting report. I mean, at the very least, you know, it contains, you know, touch access to, you know, by mouse click to, you know, you open up a team's roster, then you go to a specific player on the roster, you get all the data that you want on them, you get all the scouting reports that our pro scouts or amateur scouts or both have filed on them, you get video access to various states, old or new, you know, whether it's at bats, pitching, anything and everything, you know, biographical stuff, news lines, you know, as much content that
is,
you know, it is organized.
Too much?
No, it's just
sounds
instead
like
of going the old school, I've been around a long time. So instead of back in the day, how would you operate that when Earl Weaver was doing it or something like that? It'd be in a big notebook and having to be reorganized like a monk all the time and recalculated because there's always new information going. And, you know, Gene Michael used to take VHS tapes when he was managing the Columbus Clippers and watch, and then he would calculate, you know, this left-handed hitter versus what he did against left-handed pitchers. And they'd build the sample size over the course of time and then keep VHS tapes and pop it in and watch it with his eyes, look at the numbers and stuff, and it would determine him who to play and when to play him and how to play him based on stuff like
that.
This is a lot easier. It's no different than it was back in the day. It's just a lot more high end. But anyway, to go back to really quick answering your question, is there is also essentially a managerial aspect to it. So Aaron Boone can do his deep dive. All right, tonight's starter is happens to be what Wells, I believe. So you know, what's his strengths? What's his weaknesses? How's the personnel that we currently have active on his 26-man roster line up against that? What's the optimal lineup to produce? And I'd say most likely than not, he doesn't follow the optimal recommended pure analytical lineup. Really ever. It probably doesn't line up that way ever. And why? Because his personality's in play.
Sure.
You know, and it's never kind of operated that way. But that is a starting point to peel the onion on, and right. Then you walk through it, and then you determine a lot of other things that get into play, which is where's the guy's health, how many days has he played in a row, what's the information back, what's the player's preference in batting in a lineup versus where he, you know, other places it might look optimally to bat him here, but he has a real distaste about batting there. So, you know, the manager, in Boone's case, has got to factor all that stuff in, and then he presses the buttons that he wants to press and does it as much as he wants to, and all with the ultimate goal of trying to win.
Couple of things on the trade deadline. Number one, was there a mandate to stay under the luxury tax?
I would say it was a preference, a stated preference if possible, but never a mandate. If we, you know, had some opportunities to land, you know, for instance, a collaboration of what went to the Dodgers, like for instance in the Trey Turner and Max Scherzer combination, and it pushed us over the tax, but we could line up with the match that we are comfortable with doing, Hal Steinbrenner would have more than happy been going, you know, consider that and going over it. We never got to a match like that. Did we have conversations with the Nats, for instance, along with others? We had conversations on, you know, high end, low end, medium, prospect driven, everything. You know, whether it's prospect on prospect or immediate impact on this club, and how it materialized the way it did was the ones we matched up on, and that was it. So, but he never said you can't do this. He just has always said privately and publicly that I prefer that, but if we have to, we'll do it. We'll do what's best for our fan base, and he's always been that way. And he's you know, to me, we're lucky to have that opportunity.
So you add two left-handed bats, two good players in Gallo and Rizzo. The one criticism, more so of Gallo, is it's another guy that strikes out a lot. And you have a lot of guys that strike out a lot. Does that concern you that this lineup, when healthy, features a lot of power? No one can deny that, but a lot of strikeouts.
Well, I mean, obviously, again, and when you start peeling the onion on stuff like that, you see the team that's sitting in the American League East driver's chair right now in the Tampa Bay Rays, and they were the defending American League champions. They strike out a hell of a lot more than we do.
No, you're right, but there's so many examples of teams that don't. Like, look at the Astros the last few years.
I understand
right?
that, but I guess... In the numbers game, when you want it to fit, it's going to fit. Like anything else, if you want to recalculate your tax returns and take a chance to squeeze it through to save taxes, you can try to find a loophole here and there to make the argument fit. Then you can do it. You know, so you
but
can manipulate the numbers. You can manipulate the numbers any way you want.
I get that, but
so,
for you, it doesn't.
So at the end of the day, the
it doesn't bother
are,
you. You don't look at that as a
no,
big premium.
I would say it bothers me that if somebody pushes false narratives that don't fit, so again, you know, so it's good enough for the Rays to strike out a hell of a lot, but what's the difference? They're winning and they're in first place, so it doesn't matter. But since we're not winning and we're not as much as we, you know, currently had hoped to be at this point, and we're not in first place, it does matter. So ultimately, you know, this is a game of outs. You don't want to make any outs. You certainly don't want to make any. You know, when you strike out, I'd rather have a strikeout than a double play. Double plays have been really bad for us this year.
We've seen that.
No doubt. So,
anyway,
at the end of the day, I just, bottom line is, as I said, I think when you were asking about the stuff on the GM stuff, when you're doing what you're, you know, hope to be doing and expecting and leading the charge, then you're praised, and then everything else, if it's not the case, you know, you're going to have a lot of different arguments of why you're where you're at. Some will be more accurate than others.
So the Ray thing, you're right. I mean, I think, and we brought that up a lot, like the Rays had great success. They strike out a ton. There are a lot of teams that have had success over the last few years that don't strike out a lot. I think the Red Sox a few years ago, the Astros, the Dodgers. I guess that's just one of the things we all noticed that's so different in baseball. Like 20 years ago, it felt like there was more of a premium putting the bat on the ball. For you, as you build this team, that's the real crux of my question. Like, you don't put that much of a premium on, all right, I want a certain amount of good contact hitters in my lineup?
I just think we want a collection of the best talented players you possibly can. So, like, when, for instance, the argument a couple of years ago was, you know, we strike out too much, so voila, here's DJ LeMahieu. And then the reaction was, what the hell is he going to do for us? Jesus Christ, they don't have any spot for him. Where's he going to play? He's going to be a versatile everyday utility player. Oh, my God, oh, my God. And then all of a sudden it dissipated because he became a great player here. You know, it just, like anything else, it's just you do what you can to collect. I think ultimately your goal is, you know, especially in roster lineup, I mean, I've told it enough, too, and I learned this from, you know, Gene Michael, amongst others, Bill Livesey, Brian Sabian before him, which is essentially you want the collection of the best nine guys and get the best of those nine the most at-bats. So your top, you know, one, two, three, four, five, six hitters need to be, you know, your best of the best, and so you can get them to get as close to five at-bats, for instance, more so than the four that the back of the lineup will get if you can flip it around enough. And so so ultimately, I think it reduced to its most simple state, if you can get a collection, and clearly with balance, but if you can get a collection of, you know, high-end talent as much as you possibly can, that will serve you well, in theory, you know, at the end of the day.
Sure.
And if they all play to the best of their abilities and reach their ceiling and, you know, the typical consistent back of their baseball cards, then you're going to be all right. That hasn't necessarily happened as consistently this year as we would have hoped or expected, but we still have time to rectify that.
Talking to Brian Cashman, general manager of the Yankees. We'll get to the Gerrit Cole stuff here in a second. If you missed it, he has tested positive for COVID, so he's going to be out for a bit. You sound more frustrated and almost angry than I've ever heard you, and I wonder, what is your level of frustration with the underperformance of a team that you thought was good enough to, you know, make a run to the World Series?
No, I don't think you're... I don't want anybody here on the call to think I'm frustrated or angry. I might be a little tired from a lot of that's been going on. And to get to the Gerrit Cole stuff, the latest is we have another positive of COVID in Jordan Montgomery. So we're just, just doesn't seem to.
Doesn't end?
You know, no. So the timing of the radio interviews.
I got you. And what's the deal?
Make it more challenging. But so you're breaking news right now on FAN that not just Gerrit Cole is COVID positive, but Jordan Montgomery.
Is there a fear of a spread now that we have two guys?
I mean, but that would constitute a spread as far as I'm concerned nonetheless. I mean, we've now got two important pieces that, you know, obviously have to be set aside, and we'll continue to, you know, deal with that like we've done with others. It's just we've spent an entire evening last night and day today, you know, getting the verification on Jordan and then how we're going to backfill. We clearly had to scramble to get a starter for today's game and then try to backfill to protect that starter as well as the other people in that pen, you know, with the ability to have Aaron Boone and Matt Blake and Mike Harkey navigate this game from a pitching standpoint and give ourselves a chance to win, because obviously every day is, you know, about winning.
And what's the deal for Montgomery and Garrett? 10 days, 11 days, is that still the deal?
Yes, 10 days. I believe it'll be 10 days unless they, you know, test negative on multiple occasions prior to that, then they can come back sooner. But, you know, I just think it's mentally, you know, it's best to prepare. And then on top of that, it could be longer because then, you know, you got to make sure their arm care is good and that, you know, are they in a position to – what kind of position can they do work in while they're remote? You know, it makes it much more difficult because it's not like you run around your neighborhood and say, hey, can you go catch Gerrit Cole in the bullpen? And he's going to throw 95 to 100 miles an hour and break off some really nasty stuff. And do you have catching gear to catch it? And, you know, he's got COVID. So, you know, just don't touch that ball.
Are they okay? Are they asymptomatic? How are they feeling?
Yeah, I think the great thing about the vaccinations are that, and again, I encourage the world to get vaccinated, is that they guarantee you from getting, you know, severely ill, hospitalized, or death. And so whatever symptoms that any of them will be experiencing or have experienced are going to be, you know, more into a, you know, a mild cold or a heavy cold or at worst a maybe a light flu area. And I think we're just in the premature stage of kind of determining, you know, symptoms and stuff like that. And I don't want to convey what they are, but at the end of the day, you know, certainly they need to take care of themselves and be good, but thankfully the vaccinations are in play, so they are going to be ultimately protected from some severe consequences because they were smart and you know, and chose, I think, to protect themselves and others. So,
from a baseball standpoint, Davey Garcia, is he an option to come up and make a start? What's the status of him right now in your eyes?
Well, he's taking the ball every 5 days there in Scranton. He hasn't had the season that he or we were, you know, expecting or hoping. He's extremely young, obviously. So what he did last year and up until last year, sweeping through our system at age 22 was really impressive. You know, I guess at age 21 probably at some point last year. And so this year he's been, you know, the first year in his professional career of experiencing adversity, and he's fighting through that. So, you know, he has had a down year, which doesn't make him the immediate choice. So Luis Hill, for instance, has, you know, been the best option for us right now. So he's going to get his debut out of the rotation for us today, and he's earned that right. And, you know, but I think right now it's all hands on deck, you know, because when you have these COVID issues, you know, you're digging in deep. So when we dealt with this before, you saw guys like Ryan Lamar and Greg Allen, who's currently on the staff, and they, you know, on the major league roster, and they're, you know, in a position to, you know, get opportunities. Lamar's no longer with us. He swung through. He's reaccepted his assignment to Scranton after he passed waivers, but he contributed. Allen's been contributing. So again, we're just going to continue to ask on people that in theory would, you know, have been waiting in the wings, fighting for an opportunity, waiting to bide their time, and then they're going to get a chance. And hopefully when they do, they'll be in a position to help us, because, you know, every day counts obviously more than ever with the hole we dug ourselves in for the first 4 months.
Yeah, got a few more seconds here with Brian Cashman, GM of the Yankees. Did you think you were close to getting a shortstop at the trade deadline?
I had my hands in every cookie jar out there looking for opportunities to, you know, whether it was upgrading the roster in any way, shape, or form, outfield, infield, you know, starting rotation, bullpen, or farm system. So we had a lot of dialogue going. And so I wouldn't say, you know, some things, the things we're able to produce, we're happy with and we're excited by. And but you're always looking to do the most you possibly can. So there's opportunities that, you know, we did pursue on a lot of different avenues, but you know, we weren't able to match up or be the best match.
And related to that, why do you think Gleyber Torres has regressed?
You know, it's hard to say. I think the talent is all still there. I think that Gleyber is a manifestation of a lot of guys that we have that, at least for the first 4 months, haven't been what you're normally used to seeing. Not all of them, but we've got a collection of people that, for a period of time, you know, haven't, you know, had the years that they had hoped or expected, but there's time on the clock. I mean, there's a famous quote that Reggie Jackson, that I have, you know, a sign here in my office. Reggie said, you know, because he was a prolific strikeout hitter, as we all know, said, I think at some point the strikeout record. But he said, you know, when he was being painted as a goat, when he had his first two or three at bats in the game that were bad, you know, as long as he had the bat in his hand, he had a chance to change that narrative. And you know, the quote goes along something like that. And so at the end of the day, you know, all of our guys here, us collectively as a team and as an organization, have a chance to change the narrative, because we still have that bat in our hand and that ball in our hand. And it doesn't matter whether it's a COVID wave or an injury hit or whatever. It's just they're going to have a chance continuing to fight and compete the rest of the way to prove they belong in October. So let's hope our team can rise to the occasion.
Has your view on his long-term position changed?
I think he's basically, you know, best served without a doubt, and we've never shied away from that, would be at shortstop. At the second base, but he can play shortstop. It's, you know, obviously just hasn't, I think offensively, he hasn't had the year he has. Defensively, early on especially, he had some struggles. In this past week, I know somebody else separately asked me, Jesus, you know, he had some more struggles at short, and I'm like, well, actually they happened at second on the shifts, and one of them was, you know, in a, yeah, it was both in Miami, if I remember right. So he's actually played a pretty good shortstop from, I'd say, May on. I mean, April was pretty bad. But if you look at if you're watching, I'm not saying you're not watching the games, he probably is now getting, you know, labeled you know, as being a bad shortstop, which isn't the case. I mean, I've heard a lot of different narratives that aren't necessarily accurate, but at the same time, I'm acknowledging his best position is second base. But when we signed DJ LeMahieu, it cemented him at shortstop.
Well, I think that's fair. I think based on the first 5 weeks of the season, that's right. And you don't hear a lot of people talking about game in, game out these, you know, the last couple months about him being a defensive liability, but April's carried itself through. Do you think, the way you look at your team today, are the New York Yankees today good enough to win a World Series?
Yeah, I think we definitely have a shot, if we can get ourselves in, to be a team that others would be afraid to play. But we have that ladder to climb to get ourselves in. You know, I think we have, you know, all the personnel in place that are certainly capable of that. And, you know, so, yeah, I'd say our biggest challenge is right now going to, you know, climb that ladder, get past all the issues like everybody else is trying to get past, and just dig out from the hole we dug ourselves in. And we've been doing that. This team has, you know, been winning series after series after series after series. And, you know, and now obviously we got the Orioles right now. They took game one last night from us. So hopefully we can get on track and win this series as we move forward to continue to keep that string going. And that's even despite, you know, obviously the latest outbreak we've got to deal with in COVID. But, yeah, this team is – this team would be, you know, a team I think anybody – I think we're a team that people are afraid to play on typically now. Because,
you know,
like,
I
hey,
think
if
it's
the real
up
team
on...
that shows up right now, you know, that consistently is capable of a lot, then I think obviously it's not going to be a surprise to anybody.
Maybe it'll be different now with Rizzo especially. No disrespect to Gallo. I said this to Brian a couple months ago. It felt just watching games, and I'm not at every game clearly, that the team lacked soul. Like an identity, a soul, like that intangible thing that all winning teams have. And I think Aaron kind of agreed with me on that. And I wonder if there's a part of this season when you looked at the team and felt the same way.
You know, I whether you describe it as we're lacking a soul or it's more just a curiosity of what's off. Because, you know, in many cases, it's a very similar team or the exact same team as it has been in the past. As you exited spring training, you know, your two levels of areas of strengths were your offense and your bullpen. And then the other aspects, your, you know, the two, if you wanted to water it down to two other areas, what are your weaker areas would be your defense and your starting pitching. Well, our starting pitching has been a strength. Our bullpen's been a weakness. Our offense has been a weakness. And, you know, so it's like the two strengths have become weaknesses, and it's kind of a curiosity of how does that happen with the same personnel and the same personnel you've seen with such, you know, tenacity and fight and vigor, you know, in the past that you just haven't. I'm not saying it's not there, right. But usually all the negative adjectives follow when you're not playing well. So it looks like they're not, you know, committed. It might look like they're not, you know, that they don't care. I can tell you this, these guys all care, but sometimes, you know, like anything else, their narration that starts to get backfilled is either going to be, you know, beautiful stuff or great stuff or compliments or, you know, bouquets thrown your way because you're riding high. And if it's not, it's everything else that you don't want. So ultimately, we all know the job is to make everybody proud, your owners, your fan base, people like that. That is what you want to be. You want to be the best version of yourself. We have not been that as of yet, but I feel like we've gotten really close to being that. I feel like we're starting to hit our stride, and we're pretty excited by, you know, the topping it off at the deadline, and we just want that opportunity, you know, to prove it.
It feels like it's only been 4 days, but there's been like a quick bond between Yankee fans and Anthony Rizzo. Can you see him being a long-term piece here, or is this a rental in your mind?
Oh, I mean, I have no idea. I mean, it's all for another day. And ultimately, he is a free agency that he's staring in the face of. He played in an environment with the Chicago Cubs, and they pursued him as an extension candidate, according to the media reports. And so he's earned the right to be in an open market to have, you know, a lot of different teams compete for him. And I don't know where we're going to be sitting payroll-wise. I don't know where, you know, his experience is going to rank compared to others as he enters free agency, and then what our ultimate choices are here internally because of our commitments. So I can honestly tell you we haven't looked or thought through any of that. We've only focused on how can we resuscitate this team and get it hitting its stride for the final push to get where we belong, where our fans deserve us and our owner deserves us to be, which is in October.
Last night,
what we've tried to do.
The crowd was chanting MVP for that cat that was on the loose. Did you talk to the cat's agent, and are you signing the cat?
No, unfortunately, last night the only thing that was entertaining from everything was the cat. So hopefully tonight we can have a different experience than last night.
Well,
you know,
appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again down the road. And appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ron.
All right, there you go, Brian Cashman.
Well, the breaking news is that another starting pitcher is out with COVID. So
yeah,
Gerrit Cole
is
out with
breaking news right there.
Jordan Montgomery, as Brian said to us a few minutes ago, is out with COVID. Domingo Germán's already hurt. So three key members of the rotation on the last how many days are out for a period of time. So this offense, which has stunk the entire season, which has underperformed this entire season, has to step up now. because they don't have pitching.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't. Okay. Jordan Montgomery's been awesome recently. Let's not forget that. Gerrit Cole's the ace. Domingo Herman's had some very good moments. They're all gone for some period of time.
Well, at least 10 days.
But for two turns around the rotation. And so tonight you've got Luis Gil. You may have Davey Garcia. You're going to have Nestor Cortez. But here's the bottom line. They got a hit. And they got a hit now. Because I said it to you earlier. You're allowed to win games 9-7. You can. You can do that. That's a part of the rules. And the Yankees better start doing it right now. Because yet again, what feels like an endless time, the Yankees are hit by COVID and they're losing key players at the wrong time.
It keeps happening to them. This is the third time now this season, as we were just discussing. It does feel like they're a little snake bit in that regard, especially considering if they're 85% vaccinated, that means vaccinated guys are getting COVID, like said.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of intimated that both Gerrit Cole and Montgomery, he didn't say it 100%.
He alluded to it,
but he intimated that both guys were vaccinated.
Right, which means...
That means there's one dude, and he probably knows who he is, who's the Yankee COVID spreader. There's got to be a guy.
There's a guy.
There's a guy that's asymptomatic that is routinely... just spreading the COVID onto every other Yankee.
And it's happening at the worst time possible, before the Red Sox series a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now this period of time where they do have these games, they got to win against the Orioles, big games against the Mariners that they're competing with. I mean,
I wonder if that guy knows if he's positive or not and he's not telling anybody.
Well, I think they know, don't they?
I don't know. He might be one of those, like, fringe guys.
Yeah.
Goes in, like, he's the laundry guy or something like that. Just goes in, comes out.
Trust me, they're not allowing the laundry guy to be unvaccinated.
Like, if you think about it from that perspective,
yeah.
Like, all these guys are vaccinated, and they're getting COVID.
Well, 85% of the guys are vaccinated. So not all of them.
So let's say there's 50 total guys, tier one,
I think,
right?
One of the guys in the latest spread was unvaccinated. The rest were vaccinated.
That's the guy. That's the guy, Evan.
That's the guy.
There's got to be a guy on the Yankees, whether it's a player or, you know, a tier one employee, which could be a bunch of people, right? Who's just sitting there minding his own business, eating a churro or, an Oreo cookie right now. Just spreading virus.
Just spraying it everywhere.
Think about it.
Dude, meanwhile, the Mets aren't at 85%. I know Miguel Castro just went on the COVID list.
Yeah.
They've barely had anything.
Right.
Knocking on.
You know why? Because they don't have a spreader eating a churro or an Oreo cookie who's just breathing on people.
Mm.
That's the difference.
So track that guy down.
There's got to be a singular guy that is responsible for the Yankee COVID disaster.
I mean, everybody's had it on the Yankees. You think about the roster of players and coaches who have had COVID in the last 3 months. It's like an all-star team.
Makes me want to have a bowl of ice cream.
Does it? Made you hungry?
Well, when I said churros and Oreos, I started thinking about ice cream. Would you like some ice cream?
Depends on the flavor. What flavor?
I mean, it depends on the flavor. Other than coffee, every flavor's good.
Nah, it's BS. First of all, like, I had ice cream this weekend at Chase Stadium. Oh, my God. At Citi Field.
In a helmet?
Great question, Craig. They give you two options. They give you the helmet.
You went no in the helmet. I can tell already.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I can already tell.
You are such a rookie.
You said no to the helmet.
They have the helmet. They have the helmet.
Yeah.
And then they have a home run apple. The home run apple is double the size of the helmet.
Okay.
So I had both.
By yourself?
No, one game I had the helmet.
Oh, okay.
One game I had the apple.
Yeah, did you finish
Fantastic.
It?
Of course I did.
Soft serve vanilla or chocolate?
Soft serve, no, that's the key with the flavors.
Mix
I'm a
them?
Chocolate guy. No,
swirl
I
them.
Can't stand
swirl
vanilla.
Them.
No vanilla.
Swirl them.
No vanilla.
Swirl them.
No, vanilla.
You didn't swirl them.
No, I just got chocolate.
Big Mac,
with
what do you
sprinkles.
Want? What do you want? You're looking at me, you're pointing your fingers, the sausages.
They're not sausages. They're fingers.
I think you want some ice cream.
Yeah, I'm looking for some ice cream. No, well, I'm trying to tell you behind the radio stuff. I can't make it any clearer.
What
can
you
say hello to SNY, please?
Breaking
all right,
the fourth
hi,
wall.
SNY.
Why?
They know
because
we're
we have rules.
But yeah, they know we're on TV.
If you're watching, you know we're on.
Yeah, but then we got to do something else later. That is, and listen, he's telling me what to tell you. So I don't know what you got
to
just
I don't
do
have to,
it, please.
We don't have to say hello every show.
There's
I don't
a read
think.
Associated with it. If you really want to go in, we'll go in. There's a read associated.
Yes, I'm well aware.
And we're planning
of
on doing a read later that we have to have separated. So there you go.
People of Grubhub who bring us these simulcasts today and every day. Those are my people. the Grubhub people. Yes.
With their sausage fingers.
No, your sausage fingers, not their sausage fingers. That's all. I'm sorry.
You swirl vanilla and chocolate?
Yeah, you swirl. You mix
Why?
It.
You don't pick a flavor?
Why? No.
Because it's better that way.
But chocolate's better than vanilla. So why am I getting vanilla involved in my chocolate?
This is not the morning show. I'm not having a 5-minute conversation about chocolate versus vanilla.
You brought it up, dude. Don't blame me.
No, I didn't. I just said,
You were talking about ice cream. I described the ice cream I got.
No. All I said was, did you swirl it?
I don't swirl because I only eat chocolate.
Leave it alone.
And strawberry.
You like chocolate? Awesome. Yeah. We're not debating flavors.
I'm not debating it.
You like this. I like, who cares?
But I did go helmet and the apple.
I like that.
Yeah.
And did you take him home?
Of course I did. My kid's playing with it right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
What's he doing with it?
When he hits a home run, he's like, ooh, the home run apple.
Who's pitching to him that he's hitting home runs?
When I was home. With him.
He's not playing with it right now.
Right now, technically, he's not playing.
Not technically, factually.
Yeah, unless he's figured out how to play baseball by himself, which I did, by the way, at about 86.
Wow, you have a lot of friends.
That's right.
It's the only way to be the best player on the team.
And the worst.
That's true.
For that matter.
It's a double-edged sword.
He's the worst
bro.
On a lot of teams.
What position did you play when you were playing by yourself?
Well, I created a game where I was the pitcher, and the ball would bounce in a different way. And then if it was a ground ball, it's a ground ball. And then I would throw to first base against this big brick wall, ball would bounce back at
me. There you go. I like that. Yeah, every kid's had that
thank
moment.
You. I'm resourceful.
Whether it's basketball or baseball, you're playing by yourself in the backyard.
You're damn right.
How long did you play with yourself for?
I played with myself till maybe my teen years, and then I started playing real baseball. With people.
Really?
Like people.
So you would say
situated.
You played with yourself for like a decade?
No, I'd say between ages of six.
Some kind of record though.
6 to 13.
Well, it sounds like it started very early.
I started very early.
Very early
I played with myself at a very young age.
You did, didn't you?
How else was I playing?
When did you meet girls?
Normally it picks up at 13.
Yeah. Evan did the exact opposite.
Right.
He stopped when he was 13. I was setting records.
The difference was at 13 I no longer needed to play with myself because I had plenty of people that wanted to play.
Yeah,
really?
It was much different. Yeah,
must be nice.
Yeah. I wrote a letter to Guinness when I was 13. I figured I had to set some kind of record. I wanted to know what it was. Yeah, they never wrote me back.
I was gonna say, did you ever get a response?
They never wrote me back. Those bastards. Here's Milton in Brooklyn on the Fan. Yo, Milt, what's good?
Don't get no pineapple on it because that's disgusting.
What? On what?
What?
I'm sorry. I didn't even know I was on.
Was he ordering a pizza?
Was he ordering a pizza?
Yeah. What were you referring to?
Because who gets pineapple on pizza?
Nobody.
I'm with him.
Nobody gets pineapple on pizza.
I'm with him.
Yes.
My friend,
you're in Hawaii.
I got a salad on my pizza. Like, what?
Well, I will say this, though. Just to be full transparency.
Wait a second. So now you want to argue pizza toppings?
No, not
arguing.
What
is this, the morning show? Crack?
No,
what
this, are we not, doing? This is not arguing. This is a shared story that has a story arc, unlike with a filibuster in the morning. Here's what I would say about the salad on a pizza. When you're really, really under the three sheets to the wind type of scenario, and you get a nice, hot, crisp pizza of New York pizza, shredded cold lettuce on top really hits the spot.
Nah. Give me meat. I want meat on my
pizza.
Go ahead,
Milton. What do you got?
Anyway, let me just get to Evan, this thing without saying the names to your father-in-law, mother, to me. I, if it wasn't for sports, Evan, I think you'd be a serial killer. You're scaring me, bro.
Serial killer.
He would have started with chipmunks, then gone to squirrels, then to small puppies.
I don't even want to kill the cow that we identify. Are you kidding me?
All right, anyway. I went to the game last night. You guys know I ring the bell. We was all pumped. I've never, I'm not going to say never, but it's been a long time with a buzz, and it was like in a bubble and ready to explode. Like, everybody was so into this game last night. You would think we'll walk into a playoff game. I mean, Rizzo and Gallo trade just got everybody so hyped
up. Evan made that point, Milton, earlier, and he said something about the Mets a couple days ago.
It was the same thing, It's crazy, and the players couldn't respond.
Because of how Rizzo came out of the gate, right, with, whatever it was, 4 for 5, 6 RBIs, the home runs, all that stuff, you could tell on TV, because I was not at the game, there was something in the building last night where the Yankee fan was just waiting for something, and they never got it.
They never got it, and I was ringing the bell. I tried. I mean, it was just...
Milton, it was unbelievable because I witnessed this in person at Citi and through the TV last night because I wasn't there either. And it's sort of sad because what we witnessed was the New York fans standing up excited. It reminded me of when the Mets traded for Cespedes. There was an energy in that building the night before he made his debut. It was the Wilmer Flores home run game against the Nationals, and the Mets responded. They responded to that electricity by sweeping the Nationals. The Mets this weekend, outside of the comeback on Saturday, didn't respond. They were lifeless. The Yankees, for one night, not saying that's going to continue tonight, they were lifeless. You have a crowd acting as if this is the playoffs. They're trying to will their team to success.
Yep.
And both the Mets and the Yankees, days apart, responded with nothing.
Zip.
And it's sad because I've seen the opposite. I've seen the Yankees and the Mets respond to electric crowds.
Hey, did you happen to see real quick this one baseball story? The Blue Jays traded a pitcher named John Axford to the Brewers for $1.
Yes.
Now, I know baseball players, rightfully so, have a pretty high opinion of themselves. There's probably a lot of egos there. I think you have to have an ego to get to that level of any professional sport. And even what we do, I think you have to have a healthy ego. But if you heard that you got traded for $1, Mortimer, wouldn't that kind of kick you to the curb ego-wise a little bit?
It would be a little deflating.
A little deflating?
A little deflating.
Like, hey, what'd they get in return for me? You know, a couple minor leaguers, a prospect, right, some kid they think very highly of, you know, a new Corvette, I don't know. No, no, they traded you for $1.
Was it in quarters or was it a single like, bill? That's what I'm curious. Was it in pennies?
Like, do you think
was it in dimes?
Do you think they actually pay it?
Yeah, so
there must be an actual transaction,
right? The New
York
Mets, and I forget who it was this year, acquired a player for $1. And I can't remember who it was. And oh, it was Cameron Maven. Remember Cameron Maven?
Yeah, of course.
He was not worth $1.
Yeah.
The guy hit 0-50. And I think the whole story behind it was they were trying to do the player a favor.
Okay.
By sending him somewhere else. And technically, you've got to get
you
something back.
You have to get
back.
Something, right?
So the something back is $1.
Like, but like, if I'm the player, I would rather be traded literally for a pastrami sandwich. Because that costs more than $1. And I really love Harold's Deli pastrami sandwiches, right?
You'd be honored to be traded for a pastrami sandwich.
Like, if you're Cameron Maven, or if you're this guy who I've never heard of before.
John Axford.
John Axford. And you go home. And let's just pretend for the sake of me making up this story, this part of the story, you've got kids. Like, I've got kids. You know, teenage kids, a 10-year-old, 21-year-old, almost 20, right? And you come home, and like, Dad, heard you got traded. Yeah, kids, Daddy got traded. Well, what'd they trade you for? And you're like, well, your dad got traded. You know, this is the business, kids. You start out to explain yourself before you answer the question. Well, let me walk you through how trades work in Major League Baseball. Now, Dad, when I go to camp tomorrow, all the kids are going to ask me, who'd your dad get traded for? I got traded for George Washington.
That's how you spin it. I was thinking the same thing.
You have no choice.
Yeah, but would you? When you get traded
for $1.
When you get traded for a, quote, player to be named later. Isn't that in a way worse?
No.
It's a human, but
right.
We don't know the human.
Period. Stop. It's a person.
Yeah, but the person isn't identified
yet. Doesn't matter.
So that doesn't bother you.
At some point, a guy with a glove on his hand is going to that team.
What if you turn out to be the player to name be named
later? Also, okay.
Then you're traded for yourself.
No.
Harry Chee.
Can't be that.
Happened in the mid-60s.
No.
True story.
No.
Look it up.
No.
Google it.
No.
$1. I think.
Great. $1.
$1.
Like, what's worse than being traded for $1?
Well, would a box of baseballs be better? It costs more than $1, but still, that's like the old saying, I'll trade them for a box of baseballs.
Right. How much does that cost?
Oh, dude.
More than $1.
Like $50.
Yeah.
Baseballs are expensive now, man.
Because the cows.
Is that the reason?
Well, it's, you know. In that cow skin? Or
wait
is that
a second.
Football?
So we could turn our cow into baseballs?
I think you could turn the cow into a football, not a baseball.
Can we turn the cow into a football?
Yes.
That would warm me up a little bit more to killing our cow, bug-eyed, or whatever we're naming
You'd
her.
You'd rather play catch with our cow?
Well, no, both. We can't do both. We have the meat. And then while we're eating, I'm throwing a football to you. You throwing it back. And who is that football? Bug-eyes.
I mean, I can find out.
Look into that.
Well, we can make one quick phone call and find out right now.
I want to look into that because that would add more. It would add more to killing the poor cow.
Yeah,
the
guy just got a football with the skin, right?
And that football is going to be valuable to us.
Hey, Mike, you're on the radio, okay? Is that all right?
Okay.
All right, so Mike Parati's got Parati's in Far Hills. He's buying the cow with us and butchering it. Can we ask the guys at Beaverbrook Ranch for the cow hide so that we can make a couple footballs out of it or no?
Do I think you could get the cow hide? You know what, Craig? I think anything is possible, my friend.
All right. Who do we know that makes footballs? Do we have to go to Wilson and have them do it for us, or do you have a football guy?
I don't have a football guy. I would assume that if anyone had a football guy, it would be you, dude.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, why don't you have a football guy?
Yeah, because I don't have cowhide. I got a guy to make the football. Let's get it done.
You've warmed me up to the idea now.
I'll get you the cowhide.
Can you make sure it's like dried out and clean and all that stuff before I take possession of it?
Yeah. All right, this is all new territory for me, but I will do the due diligence, find this out for you, and make sure that we can make it happen.
Well, although we have a choice, Evan.
What's that?
We could also just make it into like a throw blanket.
No,
with the head on it still.
No, absolutely not. Football.
How many cows?
Football. Football.
How many cows make a single football or vice versa? Do we have any idea?
Good question.
Well, why don't you Google it?
Oh, let me
Google give you every answer.
All right,
show.
Hold on a second.
How take a break in a second. Relax over there.
Footballs can you make?
I actually think a rug would be perfect.
That's what I'm thinking.
Dude, that's a terrible
over
idea.
Over a football.
Beautiful rug?
Yeah. I think we go cow rug.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Cow rug right in the studio.
Even better, we do it in the studio. We hang it right here over the Carton and Roberts sign. I like that.
Yes.
And then we start collecting other dead animal carcasses and the like.
Every cowhide makes 10 footballs.
Oh, we're in. Ten footballs.
Done.
I tell the Beaverbrook Ranch we need the hide. We need 10 footballs, okay?
All right, I'm on it.
All right, brother. Thanks.
There you go.
I'm not a fan of the throw blanket.
I'm being honest with you. 10 footballs?
10 footballs.
Dude,
that's how cool are those footballs going to be?
Well,
those are going to be our cow footballs. Yeah.
Can you throw a football?
Damn right I can throw a football. I can throw it further than you.
No,
trust
you
me.
Can't.
I saw you throw a baseball. You embarrassed yourself.
It's a whole different thing.
You play a really good, tough guy athlete on the radio. When we were side by side, I threw harder than you.
You didn't.
I threw more accurate than you.
You didn't.
And I certainly looked better doing it than you. No, all true.
We have the video. We can play the video whenever you want.
We can.
You won't. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I'll take my best throw, and I'll give you 10 yards to add to your best throw, and you will not win.
You'll give
drop the
me
mic.
10 yards.
Yeah. Whatever your longest throw is.
What's your longest throw, just out of curiosity?
Not saying that.
Well, you're going to surprise me?
Whatever your longest throw is, you could add 10 yards to it. You will not beat my best football throw.
Yeah, maybe I won't. Baseball, I'm definitely better than you. I've seen that. But football, maybe you can be better.
I'll give you 20 yards on the baseball throw.
Dude. I saw you throw.
Anytime you want.
I threw harder than you.
No.
I mean, what are we doing? Did you not think I was next to you? Did you not think it was not being measured?
Oh, look, I have Dunkin' Donut Munchkins in front of me. Can't wait to have these later today. 877-337-6666. Doug in Stratford does have a very good point, I have to say. We're going to let him make that point after the break. But it's a
Damn, he's right. Yeah, we got to hear from him in a second.
He has a very, very good point to make.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.